Welcome back into the show. Second half hour of our discussion with Pastor Chatfield regarding World War II leading up to getting here soon on the timeline to December 7, 1941. But in 1940, when Winston Churchill made that speech, did that have any impact on America? Did that make any headlines here in the United States? Was there any reaction by President Roosevelt at the time?
I would say marginally, yes, but not nearly enough. We were sympathetic. Roosevelt did everything he could legally do, and maybe more than that, to support Britain. He was friends with Churchill, and he was trying. But the political climate in the United States was just not to go to war. No way. And so he did everything he legally and Roosevelt said, I will do everything that I can do to help and supply Britain short of declaring war and fighting. That is the way that is. Now, here's a super easy one. I know you know this one. Who said this? Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by the naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. Who said that?
President Roosevelt to a joint session of Congress, both the U.S. House of Representatives and the U.S. Senators.
Of course. That was a declaration of war speech. Now, after that, everything switched. Everything switched. But before that, no. There was a strong America First movement. Stay out of European wars. It didn't help us with World War One. That's what flipped everything was... And by the way, do you remember, I'll ask it in this way, what a Japanese admiral, one of the planners of Pearl Harbor, Yosoku Yamamoto, what did he say?
He said, well, after he made the decision to pull back, I believe, the third wave that was supposed to be going to the mainland, I thought the plan was to come... start attacking California and the Western seaboard. He pulled them back and he said, I fear that we may have awoken a sleeping giant.
Yeah, that's pretty close. I fear all we have done is to awaken a sleeping giant and fill him with a terrible resolve.
Yes.
And I think he was right.
Oh, yeah.
I think he was right. I mean, that is what flipped America around. Now,
my dad was a farm boy, senior year at Lapeer High School, and Grandpa Bishop had taught him how to shoot .22 long rifle. That was his weapon of choice. And after December 7, 1941, all the boys in Lapeer High School went to the principal's office on Monday and said, we want to graduate early. We want to go and volunteer. We want to sign up. And the principal heard it. He went to the school board. They granted him. They gave him a graduation in January. And my father volunteered to join the 101st Airborne down in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And he was a sharpshooter. And he was actually on their planes before they even had an Air Force. Remember the Army's planes, the 101st?
Hmm. Sure.
Yeah, my dad was on those planes and being leaned out of a airplane and flew over and was taking out the gun boxes of the Germans. That was my dad's responsibility. He had to shoot them right through the helmet from the airplane. So
wow.
Yeah, it was interesting. My question to you, in that event and how even our manufacturing in America, we shut down Dodge truck, we shut down Warren Assembly there at the GM Tech Center at 12 and Van Dyke. They immediately shifted over to the production of tanks and even military parts and ammunition, all kinds of things. Do you think that event is what triggered our reaction was not just in the military, but even in our, you know, private sector manufacturing at the time?
Of course it was. But let me just make this point. You can't do that overnight. It would take months.
Oh, yeah.
And I've come to this conclusion how important the Battle of Midway was. Okay, first of all, we had cracked their code and we figured out that what was going on at Midway, and that they had their eyes on Midway Island, and we knew, and we were going to hit them first, and we hit them by surprise. The commander of the fleet, the aircraft carrier out there in the Pacific, they lost four on that day. The Battle of Midway, which was in June of June 3 to 6, 1942, we lost one. Total turning point in the war, Battle of Midway, but it was close. These fighter jets are on these aircraft carriers, and I'm no expert on weaponry, but there were certain types of weapons that they had put on if they were going to go after the island itself, and it's and a different type of weapon that you'd put on if you're going to go after go after ships and or fight. And they got caught changing their weaponry when we caught sight of their aircraft carrier. And here's a statement by Commander Mitsu Fuchida, a Japanese officer on the Akagai in the Midway. Okay, he said this. Within 5 minutes, the planes would be launched. 5 minutes! Exclamation points. Who would have dreamed that the tide of battle would shift completely in that brief interval of time? The first Zero fighter gathered speed and whizzed of the deck. At that instance, a lookout screamed, "Hell divers," which are U.S. Navy dive bombers. I looked up to see the three black enemy planes plummeting toward our ship. Bombs, down they came straight toward me. In other words, if we wouldn't have, again, I keep telling you guys this. I know we look backward at World War II and say, hey, was it ever, we were going to win. We were just too powerful. Listen, if we wouldn't have surprised, if we wouldn't have been able to crack their codes, and we wouldn't have had good intelligence, and if we wouldn't have been able to surprise them at Midway, and if we would not have been able to destroy four of their carriers, well, they got only one of ours, and if they would have been able to get their ships up in the air 10 minutes earlier, we wouldn't have caught them by surprise. We caught them trying to change their weaponry on their fighters, and so we got there and they didn't get their planes in the air, and we sunk, you know, in those three-day period, four of their carriers. That's the turning point in the war. It was just 5 or 10 minutes. I mean, I've read and watched videos on this and how there was a cat and mouse game going on here with, and so on and so forth. It's it is what it is. 5 minutes. This guy says, if you'd have given us five more minutes, our planes would have been in the air, and we would not have been caught like we were at the Battle of Midway,
right?
In the South Pacific. So that is a big deal.
Wow. God, okay. Divine providence there, buddy.
It is absolutely, absolutely. It is. all right. Let me give you this one. Now, this is who said this? I've talked about this. Who said, I don't have to tell you the story. You all know it. Only two kinds of people are going to stay on this beach, those that are already dead and those that are going to die. Now, get off your butts. You guys are the fighting 29th. That was on D-Day at Omaha Beach. Said that, and that's a rough rendering. Who knows precisely, but that is the gist of it. Who said that?
Wasn't that a lonely sergeant where the platoon leader, I believe the lieutenant that was in charge, had gotten killed, and the men were freaking out? And was it I'm trying to remember the name of the guy.
Well, it's Brigadier General Norman Cota. He wasn't but he wasn't the head of the whole thing. But he rallied the men, and they charged up. They destroyed a cement embankment, and they all charged up, and they overran the German positions there in the afternoon of June 6, 1944. Now, the other beaches went relatively easily, but if you don't win at Omaha Beach and they maintain the center of the lines, who knows what would have happened?
Okay.
That is
Was he a brigadier general when he made that statement?
Yes, yes.
Oh, he was. Okay.
Yes, yes.
So he picked up the torch and got right in the fight.
Yes. And if you ever watched the movie The Longest Day, it was portrayed by Robert Mitchum.
Okay.
And I mean, there was a lot of brave men. There were a lot of brave things happened. Again, one of those things that history now looks like it was easy, but it wasn't so easy. Okay, now here's a statement. See if who said this, Randy. Here's a statement that never was made, and I'll explain it. Here's a statement that was never made.
Okay.
Our landings in the Cherbourg Havre area have failed to gain a satisfactory foothold, and I have withdrawn the troops. My decision to attack at this time and place was based upon the best information available. The troops, the air, and Navy did all that bravery and devotion to duty could do. If any blame or fault attaches to the attempt, it is mine alone.
Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Yep. I mean, he had written a statement out because we didn't know that this was going to succeed. And he says, you know, look, we're not going to blame anybody but me. I'm the one that had to make the call that's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was close. Again, it was close. And, you know, praise the Lord that the whole thing worked out for the better. Okay, how about this one? Here's another statement. This, I can't give you the exact time when this is said, but it's indicative of this man's personality and his mentality. He said, who said this? You don't win wars by dying for your country. You win by making the other guy die for his.
George Patton.
You got it. George Patton. I mean, that was his mentality. That is how he fought.
Did you clean up that statement, that quote?
Maybe a little bit.
Okay, because I remember I thought he delivered it is to make the other SOB die for his.
Yeah, it may be. I mean, yeah. He didn't always speak like a Baptist pastor.
He was more like a truck driver. I get it. Okay, got it. Yes.
Okay, here's another statement. See if you can guess who said this. The enemy win their battles from the air. They knock out our panzers with American armor-piercing shells. Who was known, Randy, as the Desert Fox?
Yes. I read your book. The German tank brigadier leader. I'm trying to remember his name.
Field Marshal Erwin Rommel.
Rommel.
And that's how we won the war. Remember?
Yes.
We never had superior tanks, but we did gain air superiority.
Amen. Absolutely. Isn't that Patton saying, Rommel, I read your book?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Final segment of today's discussion. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. Slim Fast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation. Or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TruckerRandy, or call 800-654-9659.
Take out the paper. Little Traverse Disposal in Harbor Springs supports this radio station, and we would like you to support them. Little Traverse Disposal is locally owned with hardworking guys that provide professional trash disposal for your home or business. You're already spending the money. Why not support a Northern Michigan-owned company who supports us? So call them today at 231-487-0780. Again, 231-487-0780.
Hey, Patriots, this is the boss of Veteran John, his wife, Jamie, in Sheboygan. Taste the purest artesian water on God's green earth, Mega Water. PFAS-free, mineral-rich, naturally alkaline, 8.3 pH, and veteran-owned. Go to megawater.com or call 231-818-9700. That's megawater.com or call 231-818-9700. Call us today to taste the pure difference.
My name is Todd Smallenberg. I'm running to be your state representative in the 106th District. I took an oath to the Constitution and the American people my entire adult life. That oath has no expiration date. I will represent and fight for you, the people that elect me, not the folks in Lansing. Vote for me, Todd Smallenberg, and let's get Michigan back on track. Our kids and grandkids deserve a better future, and I am willing to fight for that. ElectSmallenberg.com. Paid for by Todd Smallenberg for state rep.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Final segment of our history lesson, World War II, bringing back lots of memories. Testing my brain is what he's basically been doing, and hopefully he's tested yours as well. Pat Sheffield, a couple of last quotes maybe you have left for us here that you want to get in real quick.
Okay, yeah, a couple.
Okay.
Who said, I shall return?
I shall return. Oh, man, I know this. Oh, I can't recall.
Douglas MacArthur, when he was leaving.
MacArthur, that's right.
Yeah, early in 1942. Then when he gets back to the Philippines, I have returned. And he does the same thing. I mean, there's so many of these. I always think I don't have enough. Then I have way, way too many.
Right.
This is kind of the nature of the way that these things go. Okay, here's one, and I'll close with this. Today, the guns are silent. A great tragedy has ended. A great victory has been won. The skies no longer rain death. Men everywhere walk upright in sunlight. The entire world lies quietly at peace. The holy mission has been completed, and in reporting this to you, the people, I speak for the thousands of silent lips forever stilled among the jungles and the beaches and in the deep waters of the Pacific, which mark the way. As I look back on the long, torturous trail, from those grim days of Bataan and Corregidor, when an entire world lived in fear, when democracy was on the defensive everywhere, when modern civilization trembled in the balance, I thank a merciful God that he has given us the faith, the courage, and the power from which to mold victory. We have known the bitterness of defeat and the exaltation of triumph. And from both, we have learned there can be no turning back. We must go forward to preserve in peace what we won in war.
Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Close.
Roosevelt still wasn't alive then,
okay,
was he?
It's not a president. It's not a president.
Not a president. And it wasn't Eisenhower.
No.
Man, too many God references to be Patton.
it was Douglas MacArthur.
MacArthur again.
It was Douglas MacArthur, and that was on the USS Missouri with the formal treaty, surrender from the Brits. One more statement. Who said this?
Okay.
This is a president. I regarded the bomb as a military weapon and never had any doubt it should be used.
Truman.
I mean, just such clarity. I mean, you got a lot of things about that. But many, many hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of lives were saved by using the bomb. I know a lot of people like it.
Have you seen the movie Oppenheimer?
No.
I think you need to see that.
I will do that eventually. But you can't get squeamish here.
Nope.
I mean, the estimates of what Japan would have done if we were forced to invade them.
Oh, yeah.
In American lives and Japanese lives.
Sure.
This is what we had to do. I'm convinced. Anyway.
Well, and by doing so, basically just said, that's it. We've seen the devastation. We know what you have. And we surrender and it's over.
Right. And Truman made it clear, this is not going to end until you surrender.
Yeah.
You have to be strong. You just have to be strong when you're fighting a war. And we don't want wars, of course. None of us want to see a war come. But that is that's the nature of war.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you this question. Looking back on history and looking at these quotes and different things, it's amazing how political shifts took place as a result of these quotes and as a result of, you know, these battles in these wars and everything that happened. But today, with our media and the way you can get information out, they didn't have social media. They didn't have internet. They didn't have cell phones. Could you imagine how much more effective they could have been had they had today's technology? And does that put us at an advantage when we're wanting to fight a battle, politically speaking, with all of this technology that we have that could possibly impact? Look at World War III. They're talking about happening either Ukraine, Russia, or China and Taiwan. It's actually possibly going to be a repeat of history.
Possibly. But let me say this. We have a lot more information today, but we have a lot more disinformation. It is just the way it is. I don't know what to make of it, but pass out gospel tracts. Let's try to win people to Christ. And let's stay engaged in our culture and the political process. We have to. There you go.
Absolutely. And, of course, I always ask you, and you say you don't always know, but we broadcast as a public service on Sundays from 11 to noon. And I do want point of clarification. The commercials you're hearing, the church actually pays for as a sponsor. But Sunday service is a public service for those who can't make it out, can't get out of the house to go to church. 11 to noon, we broadcast right here on the radio station. So, again, what's up for this Sunday, sir?
Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That'll be the main gist of it from those two verses. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Absolutely. And Ed throws in a quick text. Pastor Chatfield, that would be being the planting of the flag on Iwo Jima, March 23rd, 1945. And he was wrong. So we apologize for that. That was late, Ed. I apologize. All right, sir. We greatly appreciate it. Lots of good information. Brought back memories. And Vicky's dad had appendicitis and was in a hospital in California and did not get on the midway.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank
Lots
you
of
for
interesting
your...
in the family.
Amen. Yes, it is.
Okay, sir. God bless you, sir.
God bless you.
Final hour of today's show. I'm Chuck and Randy. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
Montana Black Angus beef raised in Onaway, Michigan. Tellini Farms have been raising their cows by feeding them non-GMO corn, barley, wheat, and alfalfa hay, all grown on their own farm. Taking the Ebles for processing, aged, standard cut, vacuum sealed, and frozen, ready for immediate delivery directly to you. Call them today at 989-733-2782 for their current $4 per hanging weight pound. Quarters or halves will feed your family for a year. Call them right now at 989-733-2782.
Take out the Little Traverse Disposal in Harbor Springs supports this radio station, and we would like you to support them. Little Traverse Disposal is locally owned with hardworking guys that provide professional trash disposal for your home or business. You're already spending the money. Why not support a Northern Michigan-owned company who supports us? So call them today at 231-487-0780. Again, 231-487-0780.
Hey Patriots, Veteran John here in Sheboygan. Taste the purest artesian water on God's green earth. MAGA water, PFAS-free, mineral-rich, naturally alkaline,